Hello, hello. Happy Saturday, beloved listeners. This is Ken Lesser for Advanced Living. Welcome. Oh, another Saturday and another treat. A wonderful guest coming today to help us carry forward on better living, easier living, more success, more prosperity, more health, just all the good things that we're looking for. And a guest today that is just going to be such a joy to bring in front of you folks. Her name is Dr. Anae Campbell, official with a ND, naturopathic doctor, but there's a whole lot more. And a little bit about Anae. She mentions that through many of her trials and tribulations, she has come into this with we call the planet, into what she calls a quantum field. If you've seen the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, into this quantum field to help others. And as with many things in life, experiences become knowledge and challenges become lessons. That's what we're going for, right? And of course, the stepping stones of life just are stepping stones. That we move beyond those things so we can choose to step lightly and make our way safely through the comfort zones, or with Dr. Anae at our side, at our helping hand here, we can tread quickly and dislodge the stepping stones and say to life, I am living it. And Anae tends to go quickly, treads quickly, runs, she laughs, and she certainly knows when and how to ask why. Her philosophies are very simple. Do what works, do it well, do it often, get what you need to, and leave the rest behind. You want to live life rather than life living you. And change the way you see the world, and of course, the world changes. Some key philosophies that I'm excited to see how she's going to share things with us more. And she lets the universe guide her, and she also remembers that she will always get what she asks for. Why? Because the universe is always listening. If the eyes are the windows to the soul, Anae's crystalline blue eyes are the door to the universe. And when she works with a person in her practice, she hones in on the cause and the effects at hand. She finds the path that you are currently on and clearly defines it for you. She helps you to find new or a greater path that leads you stepping stone by stepping stone to heal yourself. And she helps you to clear away all the garbage that interferes with the garden that is the true you and the true purpose of your soul on this planet, in this quantum field, in this here and now. And Anae has many tools to help you achieve whatever it is you need to achieve, including herbology, something very powerful, a neurointegration, biofeedback technique, cranial sacral therapy, holistic living, alpha biotics, and yes, the list goes on. So Anae will help you, even if it means helping you find something that she knows nothing about, which, thanks to her diverse background, isn't too much, and learning everything she can so that you can better your experience in this here and now. So get ready, my beloved listeners, for some wonderful new information. Dr. Anae Campbell, welcome.
Thank you very much. Wow, I don't know if I can live up to that reputation.
If we just have a lot of fun and you share, people are gonna be wowed plenty. And I'm just kind of curious. You've been at this for quite some time, haven't you?
Natural healing and the world of that?
Yeah.
Yes, I have. Probably starting out literally when I was 11 years old and walked away due to some other influences in my life from what actually was my calling, and had that covered up for a little while until 1968, until I gave birth to a little boy and had to renew my contract with what was being told to me about my life.
Mm.
So, and that was 38 years ago.
Oh, wow, okay.
Tomorrow, 38 years ago.
Tomorrow, okay. Yeah. Well, there's an anniversary to remember.
Yep, but true.
So that got you kind of started, and then over the years, it looks like you've just got inspired to study a diverse number of, of really healthy, powerful tools.
Yes. The birth of my son, which was tomorrow, 38 years ago, brought me a challenge in life, which seems to be my world, and that is to take the challenges which we don't have knowns about, you know, we have no knowns about, and expose them so that we can learn what we need to know about them. And so I have a child who had cerebral palsy and quite severe. And in 38 years ago, we knew very little about the brain. We talked about it being the new frontier of science, but we knew very little. And so I reached out and went anywhere I could go, and it didn't matter how many miles it took, to find something that would make our world better and make it more livable. And that took me in lots and lots and lots of places. And many doctors scratched their head and just thought I was had a big imagination and was an overprotective mom. And now science is talking about things that I discovered on my own with this child 38 years ago.
Wow.
Pretty fun.
Ah, nice confirmation.
Yeah, but it took a long time to get there, to that confirmation.
Yes. Well, I guess the good news is that as these things that you're offering are more in place, then the future generations won't have to go through that learning curve.
I would think that would be the most marvelous compliment that any teacher could have, and that is that you open the door and to the world of making a better place, and that we're all complimented by that. I think that's what a true teacher is about, which I consider myself that.
Yes, and I like for your website that is www.alchemystery.org, that when people go to that, one of the first things is a beautiful quote that I'd like to share, because so often we've had stuff that we've just felt weighted down or stuck, and one of the beginning things that a person sees is this quote that says, "The lead that once seemed to weigh us down and keep us from rising into joy is transmuted into the gold of good that reflects the light of heaven." Boy, I want that.
Truly. Truly. That's been on my business card for 30 years.
Wow. Well, I noticed that there's some things that you're talking about and I hope that you could give us a little bit more insight, because you've developed some techniques that I think are unique to your own research, if I'm not mistaken. What do you call it, neurointegration? And is it also tied in with this with working with some of the astrological influences on something called you and your backup crew?
Yes, and in our world, there are people who are afraid of actually doing anything with, say, astrology, committed to it or talked about. And I find it most interesting that Hippocrates, I found not long ago, said that any doctor that didn't know astrology was no doctor at all.
Wow. So there's a quote from him about that.
Yes, yes. I found it in a medical astrology book, and that I use in order to know the brain and the aspects of the brain that we're talking to and how it develops and how it communicates inside of itself. I use only 4 aspects of astrology, and I'm not an astrologer. I know very little about astrology. However, those 4 aspects begin to describe the function and the communication ability of the frontal brain, the midbrain, the hindbrain, and the glandular system that communicates to all the neuropeptides throughout the body.
Huh.
Activating, when we understand that, and you don't have to understand it too big, but understanding it a little bit allows us, particularly with children, to train the brain. We have forgotten, in our fear of disciplining a child to the point of the abuse that is alive right now, we have forgotten that discipline actually is training the brain and how to speak to that brain in a loving, potentizing potential of what the brain will actually do. For instance, the brain does not register the word don't, and we live in a no don't world. So how do we turn that into a yes statement? How do you take the don'ts out of your language completely and train a child? If we would do that, we would have much pleasure, because then we bring the divine gift of choice back alive.
Oh, yeah, there's statistics that say that a child, before it's 4 or 5 years old, may have heard the word no or don't or stop 10, 20,000 times.
Yeah, a year.
Yeah, a year. It's worse than I thought.
Some of them get it a month.
Yeah, now, wow.
It's alarming that when I get to work with children, and particularly brain-damaged children, that training the brain-damaged child, the mother, the father, the sister, the brother, anybody around the child, and even therapists that work with these children, the first thing out of their mouth is don't blah, blah, blah. And the brain cannot even conjugate what that sentence said. And the younger the brain, the less they conjugate it, the less they understand it.
Wow. Wow. Okay. And so... So would you kind of expound a little bit more on, I guess, how you came up with this? So there's some use of astrology that corresponds to three different centers in the brain, and then the glandular system,
mm-hmm.
and then you're able to take that information for an individual and support them.
Well, our world is a reactive world. And otherwise we wouldn't be in war. We wouldn't have a country that has crime. We wouldn't have theft. We wouldn't have a lot of the things that we fight about in our world, because we are a reactive world. Basically, we are a reactive mind. That reactive mind is the hind brain of every individual. It is what we survive with. Our ego takes over and teaches us that we have to have this and this and this, or if we don't have this, we are not important, we are not this, we are not that. Whatever it begins to say, I'm not good enough, I'm not rich enough, I'm not important, all of those things are registered in that hind brain and stored there in that memory. So we react. In other words, people can push our buttons, and we come out fighting over how we have to survive. And it's a biology. It's basic to our biology about how we do that. So we hone that. We actually begin to, the terrible twos, for instance, in a child's development is about the hind brain looking at our spirit and saying, what's it about to be a human being? And by 3 years old, it's looking out of its eyes, storing messages from its vision about what is me in this world. The three-year-old is the me child. The two-year-old is, again, in that fight between where it came from, its spirit, its basic essence, and what it's like to be a human. By 3.5 and 4 years old, we're actually making decisions in our brain and defining what life is.
Mm.
And it's very interesting in my world of working with people that I have a 45-year-old trying to live their life based on the decision that a 4-year-old made that defined life as being every life is hard, everything is difficult, I'm not good enough. Again, those statements that we live by, and then we try to prove them as so and try to prove them as not so. So there's an internal war going on, and we put that out in front of us and wonder why relationships don't work.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to talk about connecting to the authentic self.
Correct.
So here are so many of us that have gotten misinformation early on and formed opinions that aren't really accurate based on some early life experiences.
Well, how does a 4-year-old know the truth of life?
That'd be a little tricky for me to understand.
And if you grew up, if you grow up, for instance, with a father and a mother that are fighting all the time, what you get and what you understand is that men and women fight. So we already know in psychology that an abusive adult was an abused child because it defined the way that a man is supposed to act is just like his father.
Right.
The only thing that changes that is if he has a different frame of reference by being over at his best friend's home, perhaps, and watching his dad not like act like that.
Yeah, when we can see different examples of people responding to similar situations with different behavior patterns, then that can open up a door.
Yes.
And yet so often, once a person has really become patterned as a child from the influence of the home without some additional support, they can kind of get stuck in that, even seeing other examples. They just may not register.
Well, that is based on, again, the biology of the brain. A neuron being a brain cell fires upon excitement. And so once upon a time, I was questioning the idea of why is it that we stay in these negative ruts, so to speak. We stay in computer language in endless loops. And very often don't know how to stop the computer and can't find out how to reboot it if we had the electricity to do it in the brain. And the brain does require the correct amount of minerals, for instance, to do that reboot and change and make those shifts. But if the neuron, for instance, fires upon excitement and it sends a signal. One neuron sends a signal to 14 other neurons times 14 times 14 times 14. In other words, to the power of 14. In a seventh of a nanosecond, it fires off from the hindbrain through the midbrain to the frontal brain and back. Now, I don't know what that is. I just know that that's extremely fast.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's take that neuron and know that it goes upon excitement without any judgment. It has no way of knowing that the energy that makes it fire or the excitement that makes it fire is green, black, fat, skinny, purple, red, or anything else. It has no judgment about what that excitement is. So we have an atmosphere, let's say, that is addicted to trauma and drama, addicted to the bad stories called the 6 o'clock news.
Yes.
Addicted to, and you listen to what we are saying, and that it's pretty exciting. So I simply explain is what is more exciting, a trauma and a drama that we go and repeat and tell all the bad news about, or a lullaby? The very reason that our brains are stuck in these places and in these endless loops is they are more exciting. So how do we shift to making that love, lullaby and I love you and the excitement about living rather than surviving? Surviving sucks, in my opinion.
Yeah.
But most of us, that's all we're getting to do, day by day.
Yes, to go from surviving to thriving.
Yeah, surviving to a big old hallelujah, this is a great planet to live on. How many people get up every day saying that? Very few.
Yes, and like you were saying, when people get conditioned to, it's a dog-eat-dog world, it's a rat race, you can't trust anybody. We're in a perpetual global war with terrorists. It's a orange alert. There's so many things out there stimulating a person along one side of a pathway that there's excitement from negative stimulation, and I'm hearing you saying, okay, that there's excitement from positive stimulation too.
Well, there can be, but it's not usually that loud. You know, Anne Murray wrote that little song about, is there any good news today? Mm. What do we say in good news? And when families are afraid to say, hey, let me tell you, I really love you today, and make that believable, what do you hear?
Yeah. Well, that's to have someone express it with that passion, that's great. And of course, what do we need to do to get out of our own way if we've been stuck in drama and trauma? Can we reprogram those neural pathways and get our different segments of the brain to respond in a better way?
Well, that's the development of neurointegration, and I haven't probably invented anything new. I might have twisted a little bit and make it work something different, but
okay.
You know, most of everything I've learned, I can acknowledge. In fact, you'll find on the webpage and in my brochure and so forth that I can never count myself as the creator. I can only say that I was a co-creator, because the ideas, even the ideas that come from spirit to me, are from spirit. So it's a co-creation. It's a part of my essence, perhaps, to discover it, only because I was born with a great big question mark above my head. But
this natural inquisitiveness is something that is kind of like your banner.
Yes, once upon a time, working with a therapist on some of my own issues, I told him I had a curiosity bigger than the planet. And he said, "Now you have to be real careful with that. It'll get you in trouble." And sometimes it does. Mm-hmm. And I comically say that sometimes I stay too long at the party and it gets a little painful once in a while. Then I have to remind myself, it's time to go. Because I do engage. I engage in something that sparks my curiosity. And so what has been my fortune and a beautiful experience is to have some wonderful teachers who have come along through my life to spark my interest, spark my learning. And then I'm quite an inventor. I'm able to take one thing and another, and that's also about my brain and how it works, but take two different concepts and maybe put them together and merge them and have them become another beautiful entity or an expression of life and so forth. And I think my son taught me how to do that, and both my girls did too. And because I think my children, for instance, were my teachers, and they are great teachers for me. And they specifically, each one of them taught me something very vital in my life and in the work and again, on what I think that my purpose is on the planet. But these ideas, and neurointegration is a part of and coming out of a science from chiropractic with Dr. Beardall, who with Dr. Goodhart, mm-hmm. designed a product called Applied Kinesiology. And in Applied Kinesiology, we find out through muscle definition what physically is not working well in the body. And once we begin to understand the body and what is happening with these neuropeptides communicating from the brain, then we also know that the mental-emotional dialogue that goes on in the body then has a lot to do with whether or not we're healthy or whether we manifest a parent's disease or something of that sort. So taking that and some other suggestions from a friend of mine and some other work that I did for a long time in discovering what the song of the cells had to say to us, developed the neurointegration. Literally a place that you disconnect, we can disconnect those patterns to where the brain forgets them, not like hypnosis and pretending they were never there, but simply disconnecting them. And then, like the old telephone lines, plugging in another plug and having it start to operate, creating a new operating system. Simply, the brain, whenever it forgets to operate a certain part of a conditional reflex, say a disease, when it's no longer thinking in that space and it's no longer firing, it's no longer active there, then the problem that was being produced from that simply goes away.
Okay.
Sometimes it gets embarrassed and goes away.
Oh. Well, I guess whatever way it wants to go is nice, just that it's out the door, so to speak.
I'm just glad it gets away.
Yeah, that's Well, that sounds pretty exciting from the standpoint of being able to work with the neurology of something as complicated as our brain, and yet to make some breakthroughs. I noticed that for some of the things for people to consider as questions, you'd put forward things like, you know, do you live with fear or do you live with love? Are you in survival mode? How much do you put up with? Other things that we may not think of often, do you go to the grocery store and continually buy the same food? Or do you drive the same way to work every day? And of course, part of this is, you know, the idea, are you expressing a huge amount of joy in your life? Or are there some places that you're stuck? And I'm hearing through some of these questions that we can start to examine ways where we may be living a number of different patterns that aren't really serving us.
Correct. We can change them. In fact, the divine thing, the divine gift of all gifts there is change, and that it's in our hands if we so choose to do that. And probably the worst brain condition is to create a belief that says I can't do anything differently than what I'm doing, or that I can't, period.
Yeah. Well, I know that getting in, when we find a comfort zone, my grandmother, God bless her, who dealt with a lot of the things from the depression and some pretty hard times in her life, one of her sayings that was kind of grim was, if you hang long enough, you get used to hang. Just to, you know, to be stuck in some form of discomfort, it becomes a norm. There was a book written, I've been down so long, looks like up to me.
Yeah.
And so this is exciting, because with what you're talking about, there's a it's not just to say to someone, well, if your life's not working, change your thinking and change your life. I mean, that's a component of it, but it sounds like you have discovered a much more comprehensive approach to that.
Well, there was a very popular book in the NLP field a while back that said, you know, change your mind and keep the change.
Yeah.
You see, one of the things that occurs in some therapies is the hang on, as you were saying, and just hang in there, and you keep doing the same old thing because you keep talking about the same old thing. You've never healed and completed something that you continually keep talking about. And the more that you talk about, the more that you keep the brain in that rut, and a rut being a grave with both ends kicked out.
Ah. Is that what a rut is?
Yeah. So,
is that good to write that one down, folks?
Yeah. You know, life is in the yes. Death is in the no. And the more that we live from that lack and from the negativity, then we are creating a death moment. We continue to create a death moment. So if we are to pick up our divine given birthright, which is about living and taking our breath here on this planet, which is a playground, and having a really good time, then we have to change the way that we have actually been programmed, I believe, to think in this space of woe is me. And
yeah,
that this work, and the work that I'm about, is to get that to be effectively there. And I want it to stick, by golly. I don't want to have to do it over and over and over again. And I don't like the idea of oming in a cave for 40 years, because you're going to sit in that cave by yourself and om, and you're going to get out of that cave, and you're going to be commingling with people that you don't even know, because 40 years have passed by, and it's a planet of relationship. We create the relationship.
Yeah.
How do you want to create it? It's in your power. It's in your power to do that.
And so it's not only important to pick out the best things from the menu of delicious relationships, as to sit down with the chef to find out how to make that happen.
You bet. Yeah.
And that's where you are the master chef at helping people to do this.
I hope so.
Well, I got
sure
referred to you
anyway.
By one of the doctors that you trained. who just, you know, went on and on about how much this was a blessing to her practice, learning your neurointegration techniques.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I know, I've known her for years, so this was a great time to get referred and to discover the work that you're doing. And can you share a little bit more, if someone was coming to you, some of the typical things that might take place? I don't know if there's any similarity to the way you work with folks, or if it's, each one is a whole different experience.
When we became a numbered world, I became more and more aware that my individuality needed to be respected. And therefore, every individual comes in their own individuality and their beauty, similar to every snowflake is different. Every fingerprint is different. Every iris is different. So we may come in saying some of the same story, but the experience makes it completely different as how we live it. Therefore, we cannot be, I do not like being treated like the gallbladder in 302 in somebody's hospital. I'm a person, talk to me. We've lost touch with talking to that individual that houses that little taxi cab called their body wandering around the world. So everyone comes to me gifting me with the gift of who they are. They may not know who that is, but we attempt to uncover that. So that gift walks in the door as if it's a Christmas present that I get to find out how it's working. Where are the glitches? Why isn't it happy? What's going on? So everybody is very individual. Many times what has occurred is that the brain in its development, for instance, the actual hard drive, so to speak, of the computer between our ears, has not been wired together correctly, maybe due to diet, maybe due to traumas. So we begin, the neurointegration has three steps to it, actually, and some of those beginning steps are to correct the hardwiring, to get it to actually come together. I have people who can't speak, not because they couldn't, but because they're too afraid to speak. So we correct the wiring, erasing that fear out of the brain and out of the activity of the brain so that the words can flow more readily. Well, that's coming from a particular part of the brain. So, again, we have to clean up that hard drive, reorganize the software, which is our mind and the conditions of our mind. And actually, I need to make a statement here, and that is that the human brain should be very embarrassed at being called a computer, because it's way, way more than that.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's way more than that, given that the chemistry of it even makes it such a bigger capacity than anything that we could ever imagine. You know, it's embarrassing, actually, and maybe disrespectful, so I'll say I apologize to the brain for that, but because we're in such a computer world, we can understand it using that language to activate what we want to say. So then the integrations go, we can go into hormonal balances, we can do chemical balances, we can do things with the integration work that causes the body to detox and let go of chemistry that it's holding on to. Simply we call one of the integrations emotional chemistry or chemical. And what occurs, for instance, every time we have an adrenal rush about a particular thing, let's say we get angry about somebody took my pen off of my desk and I can't find it. Somebody's always taking my pen off of my desk and I can't find it. Well, every time that we get angry about that, there is a pattern that goes on in the chemistry that actually is wiggled, so to speak, or activated in every cell in the body that has a reaction, for instance, to the pen being taken off the desk. And that library of information is stacked upon the very first time that somebody stole a pen from that particular individual. Could have been a traumatic situation. Let's say a child had a pen poked into their skin, for instance, in an abusive situation. So a pin represents, through that whole library, that first happening of abuse.
Yeah, there would be a lot of pain and trauma associated with that.
That'd be a lot of pain and trauma. When that's activated, though, every time it's activated, poison is leaked into the body. So that what happens is we become more and more toxic on that chemical reaction that is based on our emotions, and based off of something that's hidden in the emotional brain and in the memory. Well, that's not fun to get over. That's why we have road rage, and road rage is getting worse and worse and worse all the time, is because we get louder and louder, and we get sicker and sicker, and it gets harder and harder then to calm down from a situation that should have been just blown off real easy, because you're so full of poison and the chemicals of that poison that you can't calm the system down. It is said scientifically, for instance, in a person's rage, there is so much poison in the human body that if you took 3 cc's of blood of a person that was in rage, divided those 3 cc's into one apiece, injected that into the blood of an elephant, it would actually kill the elephant. It's that poisonous.
The elephant? Wow.
An elephant.
That's...
So we're scared of snakes. We need to be scared of each other. And we really are, but, you know, the snake is not the most poisonous thing on this planet or animal on this planet.
No.
It's us.
Yes, well...
We're deadly.
Is it we're the only species on the planet that kills its own?
I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, okay, one of the few, I guess, that especially do it, I guess, for no apparent reason. Or just do it out of rage. I guess there's other species that do it for a purpose, but attacking and killing each other on a long-term basis, it's been a history of humanity, is obviously not based on sound thinking.
Well, I don't understand that poison, and that's actually what it is. It's a poisoned brain, it's a poisoned consciousness, and we also contribute to that poison by, again, some of the contaminations that we're living in this time. So we have other reasons in that chemical process that goes on in the brain, but it's still one of those things that I don't quite understand. I don't quite understand it. So I keep searching, and I keep looking for ways in which we can make that be a difference. And once again, as you started out talking about myself and my studies, I've found a few things at work, and I've found a few things that I just threw over my shoulder and said, nice idea, but I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
Because they don't work. And neurointegration works, and it heals. It helps people to heal their bodies, helps them to heal their minds, their relationships. And not only does it work, but it stays.
That's one of the important things, is to have that lasting change, and if you hadn't jotted it down yet, folks, for more details, on the website, www.alchemistry, which is alchemystery, alchemistry.org. And did you want to share also like an email or phone for people to reach you, if they wanted to perhaps schedule an appointment or communicate?
My email is simply alchemy, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y, at valornet.com. Valor being spelled with a V like in victory, valornet.com. And I think I'll just do the email rather than a phone, because I do have a very busy practice and I can't just entertain phone calls. I can entertain appointments, and people have to make those appointments, but
okay.
Let's get acquainted first by an email, that by the desire of wanting to maybe
sure.
have an appointment or whatever.
And if I'm understanding correctly, your work can be done through phone consultation as well as in person.
An immense amount of the work can be done by phone consultation. My nutritional work and the astrology, understanding your brain aspects, called You and Your Backup Crew, that can be done by phone. The neurointegration work has to be done in person. But I do have a lot of students around the United States of America, thank goodness, and so there are a lot of ways to reach out and touch that if they're not available to come to New Mexico or find me in some place I might be.
Okay.
Because I do travel extensively.
Okay, and do you list those people on your website too?
Yes. There are practitioners listed who have had all the training, and also those practitioners come back to me when they're one part of the workshop is of the work itself is. In the latter stages of the work, really relieves and investigates the belief systems, for instance, that are controlling us. And sometimes the practitioners are not as fluent with, say, a very complicated place, and I will do that consultation on the phone, and then they go to that practitioner for the integration and get that space relieved in their life so that they can live their own life. Anytime we're in reaction, you're not living your life, you're living the reaction. And whoever planted that in you, they're living you, not you. Mm. And my goal in life is to be me, all of me, and not have somebody's whisper in my ear control what I want to do tomorrow. Not going to happen.
Yeah. From some of what you study, there are ways to interrupt patterns where we can be stuck in some loop. What I like about what you're talking about is, if I'm understanding correctly, you address a biochemical change as well as a mental change.
Correct.
And can some of this be done through? Get some of this biochemical support or nutritional support. You can do that, I think you mentioned, on the phone.
Sure, I can handle a lot of that. It's been my fortune to work with a few people that I never have met, and they were in wheelchairs, and they're up walking around today. So there's miracles are normal happening in my life, and I enjoy it, and I get a big kick out of it because that makes me know that I'm where I'm supposed to be. And there are some cases that I will just say, I can't do that, you know, that you need other help. I don't have a problem with saying that it's beyond myself. And I also teach people that you're responsible for your own life. I'll help you, but I'm not going to do it for you. And sad but true, we're in a world that if you've got enough money, they think they can pay for me to do it for them, and that doesn't work. So
you haven't learned how to take someone's brain out of their head and then tweak it and then stick it back in there?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't know.
That would be a popular technique for the lazy.
It wouldn't be, though, but you know what? I live in my world of working with folks with the simple process of saying that the biggest disease out there is victim.
Ah.
And if I could do that, then that would make me be their victim, and I'm not into that, so I just leave that one alone.
Right.
If we could solve the victimitis of everybody, we're in a peaceful world and a healed world.
Well, see, that's such a key point. Is it with what's being so strongly promoted to people of drama and trauma and victim? I mean, that consciousness is out there, and it's been emphasized so much and living in attack mode. So this is where I'm so excited to have you on the show, because my beloved listeners, so many people out there aren't living the lives to the full potential they have, and that's a vast shift. It would be just great for so many folks out there to get some relief from some of the intense stress and struggle, let alone to fathom having every day waking up with this great joy in your heart. I mean, sure, go ahead and imagine that all you want. That's fun to do. And yet, if I'm understanding correctly, with consulting you, that a lot of progress can be made to getting someone out of that struggle and out of that trauma and victim mentality. That's correct, isn't it?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. And the wonderful thing that we do is promote participation. We are very passive people, and we've been built to do that. Sad, but there are a lot of entities, I would say, or agendas in our United States that would have us be tremendously passive and not participate. When over a third of the third grade populace in the school system of the United States of America are on a drug.
That high?
Oh, yes.
Oh, my gosh. Over one third. I'm guessing that a good amount of it is probably Ritalin. Or maybe other
or
forms.
One of its friends. And then when I can't suggest legally what someone should take to be healthy, but a school teacher can tell you that you need to go get your child on Ritalin, that's a prescription, but she doesn't go to jail, but I could. That's something wrong with that world. Then we have other chemicals, and we have other situations in our school systems, for instance, in our nutritional programs of how children are fed today. We have an upsurge. We have obesity in the third grade and the fifth grade, up 50%.
Mm,
we need to be
tragic.
Looking at that. We need to be looking at that. And that obesity is because we're not having foods that are assimilable. We're not having things that are able to be digested. We're not feeding the brains. We're getting more and more ADHD, learning disabilities, and so forth and so on. And these chemicals that are happening are a great part of that. And our America needs to be very educated about that.
Yes. Well, to me, it's so important that you have an awareness of a bigger picture and a larger task that affects so many families that it's, yes, if we sat down and interviewed millions upon millions of families and asked them if these things are important, the health and the well-being of their children's ability to get an education, they would stand up with a loud, strong voice and say, yes, these are important. Where I want to encourage my listeners today to turn to Anae or some of her practitioners, to go on to the website www.alchemystery.org and learn about some of the ways that you can use her techniques to make a breakthrough in your own life, because as Vince Lombardi said, fatigue makes cowards of us all. When we're not healthy and strong enough, it's much easier for people to be led as sheep. But when you're healthy and strong and you can stand up not only for yourself but for your precious children and then for your neighbor's children and their children, we have an opportunity to bring back a level of decency and caring that I know Dr. Campbell, Anae, I mean, you want this very much for all of us, and I think every a person in America, no matter what politics, if you'd ask them, do you want healthy children? Do you want them to be able to learn and be strong and build healthy families? Everyone would say yes to that. That's why I want to encourage people to turn to you and learn about some of these techniques on helping your life, if that makes any sense.
Well, incidentally, I have an extensive reading list, suggested reading list, on that webpage. I also post and change it periodically, articles about the different kinds of things that it would take to make that kind of shift in a brain, no matter how old it is. The brain's a muscle, and as we know, doesn't matter how old you are, a muscle can be enhanced. You can rebuild a muscle, and the brain is 65% fat and a lot of water. Water enhances our thinking, and it's one of the basic biologies of the human body, and we need it, and nothing but water works. And a tremendous amount of our people are drinking other substances that are not only dehydrating, but they're not hydrating to the cell life, and much less the brain. So there's a great deal of simplicity in what I work with as well, because we go back to the elemental biology and enhance that, turn the volume up on its ability to work in the body, because the innate intelligence of every cell in the body is to heal itself. So we work with uncovering what's in the way.
Yeah. Well, see, your theme, and what I appreciate so much about you and other guests, is that, well, you have wonderful techniques. You point out something simple to people. All these techniques are great, and yet if a person doesn't take the time to drink a lot of really pure, well-mineralized water to be hydrated, it's an uphill battle. It's like trying to do feng shui in a house that's full of clutter. You can hang all the cures everywhere you want, but when there's a midst of the clutter, it's just not going to have the effect. And I want to thank you for pointing that out, is that, yes, you know, if you did nothing more, folks, and I think you would echo with this, then to make sure you got plenty of pure water that was well mineralized, that is going to be a strong factor, so that you're not taking in a lot of soda pop or teas or the caffeinated beverages, those kinds of things. Are you aligned with that, do you think?
Yeah, I think we have some real popular quote unquote diseases right now, and several of them would be simply cured by drinking water and cured. And supposedly, I'm not allowed to say that word, but let's say you'd be without those problems if you would drink water, or if we would drink water. In fact, probably 80% of the lower back pain would go away with sufficient hydration. Not probably, it would.
Well. Well, Anay, I'm certainly intrigued, and I know my listeners have now got a door open to a powerful discovery of being able to literally change their lives at a foundational level, and to do it without muss or fuss or a lot of pain or struggle. And that's where they get to take time to go over to your website, www.alchemystery.org, or to send you an email at alchemy, A-L-C-H-E-M-Y, at valornet, that's V as in victory, valornet.com. I am so excited. I know there's more that could share. I could certainly chat on, and I have to honor that we've used up our hour with a lot of good fun, and as more things develop with your practice, I'm looking forward to having you back, as I know you're working on a number of areas that are of dramatic positive consequence to all of us, and I'm just so excited to know you, and want to thank you for taking time to be on our show today.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. And my beloved listeners, I just wish you all out there a wonderful, blessed week, and as you know, the greatest power in healing is the Father within you, that divine resource, and I want to acknowledge and honor that and invite you to turn to that frequently for the help and support that's out there, and to tune in regularly as I continue to bring you more good things to help your life to work more efficiently, more productively, more healthfully. Blessings to all of you. Have a wonderful week. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll connect again next Saturday. Goodbye for now. God bless you.